Good evening. Glenn would like us to read from Isaiah chapter 11.
The whole chapter?
Right? The whole chapter. That last song, that reminds me of my family, especially my mother. When I was a child, my father and uncles would get together and play instruments. And they would sing, and they'd sing those hymns. And I remember that time, and it was a lot of encouragement. And then I believe we sang that at my mother's funeral too. And it just, that's a very, very meaningful song, as well as a lot of them. So we're going to be reading from Isaiah 11 here this evening. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The suckling child shall play in the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy at all in my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Patros, and from Cush and Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west, and they shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. The Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite even the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. I was working on remembering verse 2, or committing it to memory. It wasn't long ago I read this in my personal devotions. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Wouldn't that be something awesome for all of us to have that? There's like six things there. And then verse 3 starts, and shall make him quick to understand in the fear of the Lord. That would be something worth praying for as Christians, right? For our own lives. Whoever can, shall we kneel for prayer?
Greetings tonight in Jesus' name, and it's good to have you here. It's good to be here. Thankful that, where did Jesse go? It's good to have you here tonight. There were different plans because of the lack of choristers. And my wife was actually going to lead from her seat. She was greatly relieved that she didn't have to. And she's also somewhere even more important tonight because of that. So, in honor of you being here tonight, Jesse, and leading our singing, the title of the sermon tonight is The Branch of Jesse. So, no, indeed it is. I'm not kidding. The Branch of Jesse. Looking at Isaiah chapter 11. I don't know what you expect the day after Christmas, Sunday evening. I don't know if you expect more of Christmas or moving into the new year. I'm not sure what you would call it, probably a mix. I don't know how I get this appointment. A year ago, it was December 27th, Sunday evening. And that sermon was Aspirations for a New Year. Brother Art really remembers things well. He probably remembers that. I don't know. Anyways, tonight, the branch of Jesse. And the Old Testament came to a close one day, and well, it was considered complete, and for 400 years, no inspired prophet arose in Israel. I guess I heard that referred to as the Dark Ages, or else that's something else in history. But anyways, they're quite often referred to as the silent years. Those 400 years, four centuries went by. Between the prophecy of Malachi and the first coming of Christ, often described as silent because no inspired prophet was there, but there was a lot going on. And I'm not going to go into all that, but you had the Persians, you had Alexander the Great, you had different movements, different groups of people, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and just different things were happening, different leaders. And it actually all worked out and was paving the way, actually, for the coming of the Messiah. And it was all helping to bring that about. But we go from the Malachi's prophecy. We then have 400 years of so-called silence. And then in Matthew's gospel, which pretty much by all counts, everyone has agreed that Matthew's gospel comes first, as we find it in our Bible. But there in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And so you go from the prophecy of Malachi to Matthew 1:1, and there you read about the generation of Jesus Christ, and you have this genealogy that comes down Joseph's line here in the book of Matthew, the son of David and the son of Abraham, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 11 here, Brother Henry read, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Jesse, the father of David. And also there in Matthew chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon, of her that had been the wife of Uriah. So there you have it. You have Jesse, the father of David. And in the genealogy, you have Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And so we have a branch of Jesse here tonight. Here as we look at this prophecy from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a rod or a shoot, a tender shoot. And Isaiah chapter 53. Yeah, that's a well-known chapter. The suffering servant, who hath believed our report, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. And then the second verse says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. This is the same thing that we have there in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. A tender plant, a shoot, and as a root out of a dry ground. So there you have it again from the same prophet, Isaiah. So Isaiah chapter 11, 1 here, Jesse, the father of David. And I want to take a quick look at Luke also. Luke chapter 1. Verses 30 to 33. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Tonight, as we look at Isaiah chapter 11, we can't but get into the second coming of Christ and the millennial reign of Christ, the literal thousand-year reign of Christ as he sits on the throne of David. Jerusalem. I think it's unfortunate tonight, and I think it's sad that a number of Christians do not believe this, but call it all figurative or symbolic. I'm not sure what they do with all the clear scriptures, but they do something with them. And they do not believe in this literal reign of Jesus Christ and the seed of David. He will do it as priest and king. It's going to happen. It's literal. Back a couple of pages in Isaiah before our text, Isaiah chapter 7, very well known here. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, that beautiful name, Emmanuel, God with us, meaning God with us. Virgin, born of a virgin, the Hebrew word Alma, the most precise term the prophet could have ever used for virgin. Indeed, Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. So here in Isaiah chapter 11, we have a branch. We have a rod out of the stem of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his roots. We have a branch here, a tender shoot, one that is easily broken. Reminds me of the new shoots that show up on an apple tree. You can actually remove them by hand if you want to. Sometimes it's easier than getting the pruning shears in there at every one of those spots and just rip them out. They're tender. They're easily broken down. But that is how the prophecy comes here concerning the Messiah, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. A branch will grow out of his roots. Back a little bit further in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Also, chapter 33 of Jeremiah. Another prophecy here concerning the branch. Jeremiah 33, 15 and 16. In those days and at that time, will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteous. These prophecies, these scriptures are looking forward to the millennial reign of Christ. The second coming, the second advent, and then that following reign of 1,000 years. Zechariah. See if I can find Zechariah here. Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the counsel of peace shall be between them both. Shall be between them both. That is, both offices. And those would be the offices of priest and king, as Jesus Christ, the Messiah, sits on that throne. Priest and king. Isaiah chapter 11 again, verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, upon this branch of David, upon this branch of Jesse. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Doesn't that remind you of a very well-known verse back two chapters? And the same Hebrew words are used when you look it up, as is used there in Isaiah chapter 9, 6, and 7. And the words counsel and might, it's the same original Hebrew words are used. So there in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And so it becomes very clear who this Emmanuel child is in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The prophet sees him as though he were already born. The prophet Isaiah here. Wonderful Counselor. One term in Hebrew. A wonder is indicative of a miracle. Counselor is often used in parallel with king. The mighty God. The strongest of all these titles that are given to the Messiah, to the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah 9, 6. The strongest of them all, the mighty God, El Gibor. In Isaiah, El, E-L is always used of God, never referring to man. Gibor means hero. Together they describe the one. The one who is indeed God himself, who came in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us, and God who came in the flesh. Everlasting Father, there in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, Everlasting Father literally means Father of eternity. The very source of all eternal life is in Him. Prince of Peace, the mighty God will rule, bringing eternal peace on earth through the establishment of His kingdom. As He sits on David's throne, the Spirit hath been given to Jesus Christ, this Messiah, this branch of Jesse, not by measure, but without measure. The Spirit of God is upon the branch of Jesse. No measurement whatsoever, but without measure. As much as could ever be possible. This one is going to be blessed. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge. And notice, Jesus Christ is also within the fear of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? If only we could learn that. It would change our lives. You know, these scriptures, I hope tonight they really mean something to us. I hope we can never read over such scriptures as Isaiah 9, 6, as Isaiah 11, and think it's just ho-hum. God pity us. It's not ho-hum. This is exciting and powerful. Christmas is the gospel. The good news, Emmanuel, God with us. The incarnation, God in the flesh. God Almighty humbled himself, became as a man, taking on human flesh. Why all this out of God Almighty? Why? Why Emmanuel? Why the incarnation? Just a few scriptures in answer to that question, why? Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 11. This is talking about us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Talking about us. Talking about our desperate situation. Talking about our hopelessness. Talking about our helplessness. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Why Emmanuel? Why the incarnation? Because we all were going to perish without it. And so God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son. Christmas. Christmas. Romans chapter 8, You ask why? Why would Jesus leave the glories of heaven? Why would Jesus take on human flesh? Romans 8 tells us in verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, because he was a perfect man. Because he kept the law, he condemned sin in the flesh. First Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 24, again tells us why. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Have you ever pictured your sins in Jesus' body as he hung on the tree? If you haven't, maybe you need to. And there you identify with Christ as he hung on the cross, and he hung there because your sins were in him. They were in him. The Bible clearly says it, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Why? Why the incarnation? Why Emmanuel, God with us? Why Christmas? The Bible tells us why. It's the good news. It's the gospel. It is the love of God. Back in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 3 and 4, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Having the Spirit of God without measure, Christ will have true spiritual vision and judge the poor with righteousness. Wrongs are going to be wrongs in that day. And rights are going to be right. Good is not going to be evil in that day, and evil is not going to be good, like man has it all twisted up today. It's going to be the way it is. And Jesus Christ is going to get it right. That's really comforting. But to some it could be troubling. But he's not going to miss it. He will have the Spirit of God without measure. And he will have true spiritual judgment, vision, and judgment upon every human being. John chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus says it, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. The rod of his mouth, we read here in Isaiah, the power of his spoken word, slaying the wicked. We could read a verse in regards to that in Revelation chapter 15. Revelation 19, verse 15. Slain with his mouth, with the words of his mouth. Revelation 19, 15. And out of his mouth shall go a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall roll them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. That day is coming. The rod of his mouth, the power of his spoken word, slain the wicked. Verse 5 in Isaiah 11, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins. In other words, righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins, or the belt of his waist. Righteousness, this coming judge, it's all about righteousness. It's all about judging rightly. It's all about getting it right. No mistakes. Nobody being paid off. Nobody failing to do their job the way that office calls for it to be done. None of that. Righteousness and faithfulness. These will characterize the reign of Jesus Christ as he sits on the throne of David. At that point in time, there will be no more lying, there will be no more cheating, there will be no more stealing. There will be no more corrupt politics. Jesus Christ is going to have it right. He's going to reign and he's going to rule in righteousness and in faithfulness. Righteousness will prevail one day. And in that day, there won't be any more abortion. There won't be any more adultery. There won't be any more homosexuality. There won't be any more of this transgenderism, as they call it. There is no such thing. It is so disgusting here of late. I had to go to the doctor fairly recently and fill out a new patient form. Pages and pages, and some of those questions downright disgusted me. Do you identify as a male? Do you identify as a female? Or is it one of the other, or is it some other? Come on. How stupid have we gotten? How pathetic has the human race become? And there were other questions on that thing that made me want to puke. How many have you had sex with? Have they been men? Have they been women? Questions like that at a doctor's office. That's the day and age we live in. Disgusting. One day that'll all be over, and righteousness will prevail. I remember reading in Genesis that God created them male and female. He created a man and he created a woman. He created Adam and he created Eve. And today they're asking us how we identify ourselves. We don't even need the word gender. We just need the two sexes that God created. Oh, humankind has become so pathetic. When one turns from God, and when a society turns from God, when a people turn from God, there's no end to how low they can go. And we're experiencing that in what used to be the great land of America. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now." Waiting for the adoption, waiting for deliverance, waiting for relief, and it's been this curse upon the earth, upon all creation, ever since Adam and Eve fell in the garden. And you have storms and you have volcanoes cropping up where you would not expect it. The earth is just spewing out its anger and its unsettledness, and you have an increase in earthquakes, and you have hurricanes and tornadoes on top of the volcanoes. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. Verses 6 through 9 in Isaiah 11. This is beautiful. I'll tell you something about my wife. I don't think she'll care. It touches her when there's a squirrel laying there along the road. That one didn't make it. Oh, that one got hit. I'm learning to appreciate that more and more. It's really the heart of God. Young boys, sometimes it takes a long time to learn these kinds of things. To be a big boy and to be a man, it requires killing things. God notices when the sparrow falls. And yeah, that means he also notices when that squirrel doesn't make it off the road. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together. And besides all that, a little child shall lead them. What is going on here? This doesn't even make sense. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. Come on. What are we reading here? The lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking or the nursing child shall play on the hole of the asp, the cobra. And the weaned child shall put his hand upon on the cockatrice den, the viper. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. So much so, even as the waters that cover the sea. That's complete. That's complete. It's coming. The millennial reign of Jesus Christ on the throne of David, the branch of Jesse, is going to roll. He's going to have all to say. He's going to have all in control. He's going to have the government. He's going to be the supreme, and he is going to rule in righteousness and faithfulness. Amid this decaying world that we live in, are we rejoicing in these facts? Are we thankful for them? Are we looking forward to it? I hope we are. Hosea. Hosea chapter 2, verse 18. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. You know, man vainly attempts to make peace. You hear of peace accords, you hear of peace treaties, and oh my, such and such a leader is really admired, and look what they've done. And there's been a push for all my life, and probably yours too. We need peace in the Middle East. Not going to be peace until the Prince of Peace comes again. But man vainly attempts to make peace, nation with nation. Different this people group with that people group. You know, even nations themselves divide themselves, and there's civil war within one nation, within one people. You have anything but peace. You basically have that right here where we live. Nations crumble into civil war. Peace accords are broken. Native Americans. Well, what an argument they have. They soon learned that they couldn't trust Washington, D.C. Yeah, we're going to give you this beautiful block of land out here, further out west. Yeah, there's no room for you here anymore. So you Native Americans, you just got to move a little bit further away. And the agreement is that's always going to be yours. Until greedy, filthy man finds something valuable on that piece of land, then they have to go further. And that last treaty don't mean anything anymore. Not men of their word. Man fails miserably in attempts at peace with fellow man. Not only will the branch of Jesse be successful causing mankind to be at peace, Well, look what we read here. He will also cause man and beast to be at peace, and all the animal kingdom to be at peace among themselves. You notice a clear contrast here, and it's done on purpose. You know, the wolf and the lamb. Guess what? One's predator and one's prey. One is powerful and strong, and the other one is basically helpless. The wolf and the lamb. The leopard and the kid. You see the contrast. The calf and the young lion. You see the contrast. There's a predator and there is a prey. And the prey is absolutely helpless and weak and vulnerable, and is going to be eaten up by the strong and powerful predator. The cow, the bear, verse 7. But Jesus Christ, the branch of Jesse, the Messiah, the coming King of King and Lord of Lords, he will cause man and beast to dwell in peace, and the whole animal kingdom to dwell in peace with one another. Prey and predator eating together instead of eating each other. This is in the future. This is coming. You know, I thought of the helpless little rabbit already. I thought of this different times. I would like to see more rabbits. Years ago, there were more rabbits hopping around, and their numbers have gone down. But then to build back up, it's very difficult. You know, when a number of a certain prey is up, it can kind of be eaten away at, but they keep producing young and they kind of keep their number. But once they're down low in number, like the muskrat is in our state and even across the country, the muskrat has really declined. The cottontail rabbit has really declined. When I think of a rabbit, I think of an animal as helpless as a sheep, as a newborn lamb. And I got to thinking about the list of enemies that the rabbit has. Foxes, coyotes, loose roaming dogs, feral cats, bobcats. I don't know how much you know about raccoons, but yes, a raccoon will pounce and kill and eat a rabbit also. Maybe you didn't know this, but a mink will too. And a weasel will. And then you have, that's everything here on the ground, including snakes. I didn't mention them, but they'll get them too. That's all the ground attack. But then you also have the air attack. The owls and the hawks. And the vast majority of little rabbits that are born never reach adulthood. They never get there. Predator eating prey in a fallen world. I don't believe it was like that in the Garden of Eden. I don't claim to know exactly how it was back there. But the one verse before us here says that the lion shall eat straw like the ox. I believe that's going back to the Garden of Eden before the fall of man. Some might disagree with that, but I believe that's they were all vegetarian. And then we had to fall. You know what will really be great? When the branch of Jesse, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, rules and reigns. You know what will really be great? There will be no more fighting among Christians. That'll be different. There won't be any more church splits. There won't be any more nitpicking. We do things this way. You're not a real Christian because you're not over here with us. Praise God when that day is gone. And it's coming. And it'll even solidify a great amount before this branch of Jesse returns the second time. Persecution will help that along. I really believe that. The Messiah's first coming, we read in Luke chapter 2, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Peace. We're talking tonight about the Prince of Peace and how that peace is not only among man, but among animal and man and among animal and animal. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And yes, Jesus is coming again. And as he rules and reigns, unbelievable peace will be reality. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the branch of Jesse, what an amazing, glorious Prince of Peace. Will come once more to this earth. We have verses 10 through 16 here, the rest of this chapter, Isaiah 11. We have verses here that talk about an ensign, speaks of a banner. Verse 10, "In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, like a banner, like, look, Jesus Christ, here he is in all his glory and all his beauty, his righteousness, his faithfulness, as he's described here in Isaiah 11. In today's terminology, probably a billboard. You know, those electronic ones that are lit up, and they catch everybody's attention that's coming down the highway. Jesus Christ. And Isaiah, isn't it amazing? Isaiah here, he sees way into the future in verse 10. And he says, "To it shall the Gentiles seek." Isaiah foresees that day when Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I believe at that point there in Matthew 11, the gospel had gone forth, the invitation had gone forth, not to just Jew, but also to Gentile. And Isaiah talks about it right here in this prophecy. And his rest shall be glorious there in verse 10. Inviting the Gentiles to salvation, foreseen by Isaiah. In verses 11 to 13, you have more Jews being gathered together to Israel. Israel's enemies will be at peace with her. That's amazing when you, she's surrounded by enemies and they hate her. It's the worst hatred of the whole world, the hatred that Israel has upon her, that the Jew has upon him. It's the worst hatred that this world has ever known. Israel surrounded, but to think that one day her enemies will be at peace with her. An amazing time is coming. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for Messiah's second coming? The Bible says he's coming again. Acts chapter 1, verse 11, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Well-known passage in John chapter 14. Jesus says there, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Just one little passage here. Matthew chapter 24. 36 through 39. Jesus speaking, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But here's a hint, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, they were living immorally until the day that Noah entered into the ark." That's very telling. "And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Revelation chapter 22, the last book, the last chapter of Holy Scripture. Revelation 22, verse 12, Jesus says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." And then in verse 20, "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen, and even so, come, Lord Jesus." Time is running out. Another year will soon expire on the pages of history. Another year almost gone. One of the saddest verses in the Bible is Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20. "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." Isaiah 57, 19 to 21, "I create the fruit of the lips." We talk tonight about the Prince of Peace, the branch of Jesse. "I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off. And to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Revelation chapter 6. Revelation 6, 15 to 17. "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men," and you can think of leaders today that really think they are somebody, "and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. We can't take it, we can't stand it, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" This world's in for a shaking. This world's in for a day of reckoning. And all those who harden their hearts against an almighty God, people that claim they can be whatever gender they choose to be, are going to call for the rock someday if they don't repent. Do we have peace tonight? One of his names, the Prince of Peace. Romans chapter 5 again. The first verse in that chapter says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." There we learn how we can have peace with God. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by faith, by believing on the only begotten Son of God, that he brought from heaven a saving gospel, we can have peace with God. We all need peace. We need peace with God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And so we read in the scripture about peace with God, and we read in the scripture about peace, the peace of God, that passeth all understanding. Tonight, the message of the Bible is, the Prince of Peace is coming again.
Let's stand for prayer.